looking at the camera, knowing that you were at home there, and then looking around at the brothers and sisters here. But I just want to share some words. It's been one of those ones that I had a little bit of difficulty putting it all together in one sense, although there were thoughts and that I've spoken on before. But I just want to talk about the present situation that we're in. It's been over a year since we've had the pandemic and the lockdowns, the various different things, and it's been trying. There's been trying and very difficult times. And for some of you, it's been more difficult than it has been for others. And I just want to, John mentioned actually at the beginning about the young people, and he was stressing that and the songs that were being sung there. And I've got just a little thing, I just wanted to say it to the young people as well this morning and to all of us. But to many of you, this year hasn't been what you expected. You've had disappointments, you've had discouragements, you've had difficult times in many cases. School hasn't been easy, your education hasn't been easy. The normal activities that you would have done over this past year, you haven't been able to do them. There's not been that interaction that you would have liked with family and friends and different other things. And I'm sure that some of you, if you're any like any of the rest of us and older people, questions will have arisen in your mind, Lord, what is it all about? Why, Lord? Why is this happening? What is it? I've spent a year of my life that I could have been enjoying and doing something else, but you haven't been able to do it. Just like the rest of us, we haven't been able to do it. And the question comes, doesn't it? What is the Lord doing? What is he saying to me? What is he doing? And I just want to encourage you this morning, because you've had a difficult time, and it's been the same for all of us in different ways. Some have had more difficult times, some have had easier times, but it's going to end. It's not going to go on forever and ever. And we're all learning something for ourselves. Each one of us has and is still facing one or two trials, maybe more, of one sort or another. But I want to tell you that everybody else in the world outside is facing the same thing. Other schoolmates are facing the same thing. Other people, other members of families, other generations. We're all facing the same thing. But the difference is, of course, that we've got the Lord with us, and we can just come to him and turn to him and share fellowship, even if it's by Zoom, with one another. And you know, some of the frustrations or some of the trials or tests, if I put it that way, some of them have been just inconvenient. They haven't been difficult. They've just been, for some of us, just inconvenient. They've been frustrating. But I know that for some of you in the fellowship, they have been extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. They've been hard. They've been tough. And asking the question again, Lord, what are you doing? And it's not wrong to ask that, as long as we do it in the right way. What are you doing, Lord? What are you saying? Where do we look for answers? Where do we look for the meanings of all that's going on? Well, I believe that we look to the scriptures, we look to the Bible, we look to what God has said, is saying, and will continue to say in all the different situations. Often in the Bible, we have the expression, the word of the Lord came to me. And that's what the prophets said. And it wasn't just the prophets that received words from the Lord. Other people who were not prophets, who were not apostles, who were not different mighty men and women of God. The Lord also spoke to them in their different situations and circumstances. The word of the Lord came to me. And the heading, I would say, of the message this morning is, these are words that come to us in our trials and in our difficulties. And they've come to other people and they come to us. And they always will do, because it's the living word of God, and God will always speak his word. And he says, hear the word of the Lord. And you might be saying this morning, well, Lord, I wish you would speak to me. You haven't spoken to me. I want you to speak to me. And yet, sometimes he does speak, and we don't always hear. We don't always know where to go. And I just want to encourage you this morning about this. In Isaiah, there was a one of the prophetic words concerning the Messiah and of what he would be doing and saying. And it says in Isaiah 50, the Lord God, and this is going to be Jesus here, this is a prophecy concerning him about the Lord. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, words of wisdom, that means words of wisdom, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus did. Morning by morning, he was waiting on his Father. Whatever he did, wherever he went, he was waiting to have a word for those in season who were going through difficult times, a word of healing, a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, a word of rebuke, all of them. But he was waiting, especially for those who were weary. That's why he'd come unto me, you that are weary, you that are heavy laden, and I will give you. You know, and if the Lord needed to have a word, not for himself, although he needed the word to, in one sense for himself, yes, he had that communion with the Father, but if he needed a word for others and to encourage them, how much more do we? How much more do we need words of encouragement for Angie and Alan? How much do we need a word from the Lord for Mandy and Arthur? How much do we need a word from the Lord for others who are going through difficult situations and circumstances? And we need to sometimes wait upon the Lord for these things. In Jeremiah, and remember, Jeremiah had many, many trials, starting off as a young man, didn't want to be called to be, didn't want to do what the Lord was calling him to do, didn't want to be a prophet because he knew what happened to prophets and they were rejected and had a difficult time. And yet he says, at one time, he says, your words were found and I ate them. I digested them. I meditated upon them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. This is the weeping prophet saying this. And that's what the word of God became to him. Because even in his trials, the word of the Lord became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And he was the one that accused God of lying to him. He accused God of many things in his brokenness of heart and everything else, and his things that were upsetting him. And we can say things that we regret, but he was a man that was going through it. But he said, Lord, your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And why was it? And I believe it was because he had an understanding of what it was doing to him. And it was developing his relationship with the Lord. And he was not the same man at the end of his life as he was as a youth at the beginning. He went through a lot, but he became a mighty, mighty man of God. And it was his words, the words that God gave to him, that when it came for the people of Israel to go back, Daniel looked and he found the book of Jeremiah and the things that God had said to him. And it was through that that Daniel received that joy and that rejoicing, and began to realize that now was the time that they would return from their captivity. And he had visions, etc., etc. And there was another time, just want to give you this verse as well. Zedekiah, who was the last king of Judah, and he was taken into captivity, not a good king. And at this time, Jeremiah was in a dungeon, put in a filthy, dirty dungeon, because people wanted to kill him. And it says, Zedekiah the king sent and took him out of the dungeon. And the king asked him secretly, he said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Now, unfortunately for Zedekiah, it wasn't a good word, because the Lord was going to tell him that the king of Babylon was going to destroy them. But nevertheless, he just was asking this ungodly king, saying, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. And you know, sometimes we can get to that state and we can think, Lord, is there any word from you? Is there any word for us as a fellowship? Is there any word for you in your situation, in your circumstance, in your difficulty? That word, in the Hebrew word, it simply means, is there a word? But it means also, is there a matter? Is there an answer? Is there a communication? Are you going to say something? So is there any word for us today, for you and for me? Is there an answer in our situation and our circumstances that we are facing today? Is there a communication between him and us, between the Lord and us, where we can hear what he's saying and he hears what we're saying in our tests and our trials and our difficulties? Is there a word of encouragement or any sort of word that God might put in our hearts to share with somebody else that will be an encouragement, that's going through a more difficult time than we are? A scripture, a revelation, an encouragement. And sometimes God will give us direction in our own particular life. I've lived a long time. I'm in the latter years of my life. And I've walked with the Lord for many, many years, over 50 years, 55, something like that. And I was young, 18, when I got saved, and I had faced difficulties pretty soon after that. Different situations and circumstances I've lived through, many I've cried through, many I've wanted answers to, many I found frustrating, some I found difficult, some not so difficult, some minor, and some very major. And different things. I've had trials of faith, I've had trials of my patience and my perseverance, where I didn't want to be where I was, and God put me and kept me until it was time for him to deliver me. I've had tests and trials about my trust in the Lord. I've been challenged about my dedication and my consecration to him, when I wanted to go my own way and I haven't wanted sometimes what he's wanted me to do. I've had dealings with my pride. I've had dealings with my envy and my greed and my selfishness and my worldliness at times. I've had tests, and you have as well. I'm only standing up here representing all of you and everything that you've been going through and are going through. And sometimes I've understood at different times what he has been doing in my life and what he's been challenging me about. I've understood what he was saying and I've understood what he was doing. But more often than not, till maybe later, I haven't understood, I haven't seen, I haven't received what I've wanted to. Sometimes the Lord has given me a direct, clear word, as if he was speaking audibly to me, or he's made a verse of scripture come alive, and I know and I knew that God was speaking to me, and my life was changed in different directions. He gave me a direct word, and I was sharing this with Jordan and Aidan the other day, talking about how their parents met and all got married, etc., and how we did. God gave me a direct word that I was to marry Ken at a time before that I didn't want to. And I wanted to be a missionary on my own in Africa or somewhere. These things become real to us at this particular time. I've explained at times when God gave us a direction about going to the church we went to in London. A direct word when God said, Ken will be the assistant pastor of the minister of the church in Hounslow. It was as clear as that. And I never told him about it until the Lord brought it to pass. Because we were desperate. We had nowhere to go, no church to go to. God steps in, but sometimes he doesn't. I've known of experiences where I was praying about something and I wanted an answer, and all the Lord said to me, just in my spirit, it will be all right. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to just be all right. I want to know more. I want you to tell me more about what's happening. But all he said, that's all you're going to know. It will be all right. And so these things come. Sometimes there's a word of blessing, and sometimes there's a word of rebuke. At times, the Lord told me once that I'd been wearying him with my continual going on about something when he'd already said it was going to be all right. So sometimes the Lord in our situation is teaching us lessons. Sometimes he'll rebuke us in love because he loves us. And he'll say these different things. I remember once I wanted to give somebody a gift of something at one time, but it actually wasn't the right time to do it. It wasn't the right situation and circumstances, and I had a check in my spirit that I shouldn't do it, that it wouldn't be a good thing to do, but I went ahead and did it. And it rebounded on me. See, God is trying to teach us in some of these things, and it was in a difficult time I was going through. And sometimes the situations change quickly, don't they? But sometimes they go on week after week, month after month, and year after year. There was a time I used to push the pram, and I've mentioned this before, with the kids in it when they were just little, and tears down my running down my face, walking the streets where we lived in London, and all I could say to the Lord was, Lord, how long? How long? How long is this going to go on for? And it went on until God said it would end, and it did end. So there's good times, there's quick times, there's slow times, there's long times. Sometimes we receive a word that we want, and sometimes we receive a word that we don't want. But if we really want God to speak to us in our situation, if God is testing us or allowing something to happen in our lives, it's to do with our relationship with Him. It's to do with our holiness. It's to do with our life. It's to do with our walk with the Lord. And sometimes He will let it go on. And you've got all the examples in the scriptures, haven't you? I don't have to labour that point. I want to read this passage, because I'm talking about receiving a word from the Lord. And the Apostle Paul is a tremendous example of this. And I'm going to read this passage. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm reading from verses 1 to 10, and I'll read it in the NLT. And he's been talking about different things beforehand, and he says, this boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. And I want you to listen to what he's saying here and what's happening to him. He says, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Some believe, Bible scholars believe that was when he was stoned and he was left as dead, and he had some sort of revelation or vision or whatever it was, but he was caught up to the third heaven. Whether, and this is what he says, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise, and I heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, don't we all want this? So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. So we've got the background here. He receives this tremendous revelation, visions that he cannot even talk about. And then he receives the thorn in the flesh. And listen to what he calls it. It is a messenger of Satan to torment me. Who else do we know in the scriptures had a direct messenger of Satan himself? And that was Job. That was Job. And look what God allowed in his life. But look at the end of Job and what God did to him. This was not a minor inconvenience and a minor trial. Some people think that he had bad eyes. Some people think it was malaria. Looking at this again, I think it was a lot worse than that. He is talking about something that is tormenting him, a messenger from Satan. And three different times he begs the Lord to take it away. But each time the Lord gave him the same word in his situation and circumstance. My grace is sufficient for you. It's all you need, Paul. My power, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My power works best in weakness. And did you notice in one of those songs this morning that we sang, he said, Lord, you are my strength in my weakness. And then the first song, it said, your word, I won't get the right words, but your word and promise will stand forever. in those two songs that we were listening to. Did he want to receive a word like this? Would I want to receive a word like that? And I'd be saying, Lord, I'd rather your strength not actually work best for me in my weaknesses. You see, Paul had received new revelation. He received a word of clarity and understanding in his experience what God would. Three times he'd asked the Lord, and each time the Lord said, Paul, I'm not going to say any more than this to you, but my power is going to work in your weakness. And at the end, Paul got the message. And that was the Lord, what the Lord said to him. That's why he said, now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure. I'm quite content, he's saying, in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And he lived in the truth of that word for the rest of his ministry and for everything else this that was happening. But I want you to notice something here. This word that he received, that has been a blessing down through the ages to many a Christian, it was not given when he was caught up to paradise and he was having ecstatic spiritual experiences and visions in the presence of the glory of God. It didn't happen then. And this word has brought more help and understanding to him of God's dealings of holiness and grace than anything he'd seen in the third heaven. He didn't need the revelations, and he couldn't live on the revelations of what he'd seen in heaven when he was being persecuted and all the things that he had to go through, but he could live by this word that the Lord had given to him. This is why, Paul, this is what I'm doing, and my strength will be made powerful in your weakness. And you know, he never told us what he saw, never told us what he'd heard. He wasn't allowed to. We often wish that he would, because we think that if we knew and heard what Paul saw, we would have a greater understanding, we would have a greater blessing, we'd be able to go through great things, because the revelation he had was greater than Isaiah's, greater than Jeremiah's, greater than Ezekiel's, greater than Daniel's, greater than the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. But he was not allowed to repeat it. But you know something? For the last 2,000 years, the church and every Christian has received more help from what the Lord told Paul, that my grace is all you need, than anything Paul would have told us about what he'd seen. Paul's thorn was severe. It wasn't ordinary. That word torment means to buffet, to beat, oppress, ill-treat and make painful. And if Paul says it was painful, it is painful, then let me tell you, it was painful. Because I want to read what he says in the previous chapter. Very quickly, he's talking about what he's had to suffer. I'll just go through it briefly. I've worked harder. I've been put in prison more often than the other apostles. I have been whipped times without number and faced death again and again. 5 different times I received 39 lashes of the whip. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Spent a whole night and a day at the sea. He said, I treaded many long journeys, faced danger from rivers, robbers, the Jews, Gentiles, cities, deserts, seas, all manner of different things. He said, I've worked hard and long. I've endured many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, often gone without food, shivered in the cold, without enough clothing to keep me warm. And apart from that, he had the daily burden for all the churches. He said, who is weak without my feeling that weakness? I'd rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. And so Paul knew what it was to have all these different sufferings and etc. that he went through. But he also recognized the grace of God as well as the power of God, and he knew his own weaknesses. And countless saints down through the ages have been carried through tests and trials through this word that he received from the Lord. And you know, the Lord puts us through different situations and circumstances and things that we're going through. And we do want to receive words from the Lord. We do want to be encouraged. We do want clarity. We do want revelation. And many times it causes us, the things that we go through, to seek the Lord, to turn to the Lord and find him and what he's saying and what he's doing. And the one thing that we are tried for and tested for is not that God is cruel, that God doesn't care, that he doesn't love us. It's because we can know the Lord through the trial. We can know the Lord through what we go through. Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to live on nothing. I know how to live with everything. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be full and hungry and to abound. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he goes on to say, God will take care of you just like he's taken care of me. And he will supply all that you need. And he's not talking about material things here. He's talking about the grace that you need, the strength that you need, the help that you need, the encouragement that you need, the blessing that you need from his glorious riches that have been given to us in Christ Jesus. That chorus says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, in spiritual things or whatever, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. Why? It's what the Lord has done in me in these situations and circumstances. What I want to do now, I want to give you some verses of scripture, some situations that will cover practically everything that any of you might be facing at the moment. Throughout the scriptures, men and women received a word specifically from them, for them, from the Lord, during or after their tests and their trials. And these words, these revelations, these answers, this clarity, etc., gave them a knowledge of the Lord that blessed them and have also blessed countless others, including you. You have been blessed by some of the words that God gave to these people in their situations, and you will be blessed by them. And let me go through them very quickly. I don't want to labour the point. When Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s, they faced an impossible situation. An impossible situation with no remedy, no hope. The promised son, and God hadn't given him to them. And that's when the Lord comes to them and he says this familiar word that you probably prayed and believed, is anything too hard for the Lord? It was out of the trial and test of Abraham and Sarah that you have that word. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When Abraham was asked and challenged about his obedience and to sacrifice Isaac, something he did not want to do, and sometimes we're challenged along that way, the answer was, and something that has blessed you, the Lord will provide. And that has been a blessing when others have faced a similar situation. When Joseph went through what he went through, how his brothers treated him, what he went through, and everything he faced in Egypt, heartbreaking, harrowing situations he went through. But he could turn around and say to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And we can all have that word of encouragement to us. When Joshua came to the end of his life, he'd fought all his battles, and he looked at the children of Israel, and he knew that some of them would backslide, some of them would walk away from the Lord and be challenged about these things. And he knew that they had to make a right choice and complete dedication. And that's the word that has come to us. How many of you have been challenged by this word and have made a decision because of it? Choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a word that has been blessed and has been a challenge down through the years. When Sennacherib came and fought against Hezekiah with his multitude and the threats of the army, etc., and Hezekiah didn't know what to do and he sought the Lord, and there was a promise of deliverance from the threats of his enemies, and the Lord said what he was going to do, and then that lovely passage of scripture. How is he going to do it? Because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. God has a zeal for you, for your life, for your situation, your circumstance. He has a zeal for us as a fellowship here. And brothers and sisters, whatever the Lord is going to do and will do, it will be through his zeal that he's going to do it. He is zealous for us. When Jehoshaphat was faced with a similar situation, and he was faced with defeat, and when we're faced and we can't see the victory against the impossible odds sometimes that we have to face, we know, and he said to the Lord, Lord, we've got no power. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are upon you. And Jehaziel, the young man, comes and prophesies. And we know this verses that have blessed us. And I want you to be blessed and encouraged by this. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed because of all this great multitude, all the things that are coming against you. Because brothers and sisters, in your individual battle, it's not yours. It's not yours. It's the Lord. For the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he says, you don't need to fight. You don't need to struggle. You don't need to use all your emotional energy and worrying and everything else. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And it will come. And what did they do? The singers and the praisers went out first. When Esther, and again, this is another challenge to the young people, I suppose, more than just old, although it comes to all of us. She didn't want to marry the king. She didn't want to be part of a harem. She didn't want to be that, but she did it in submission to her uncle, in submission to the will of God. And sometimes we need to be and have an assurance of being in the will of God, don't we? And where he wants us. And when it came that the Jews would be destroyed, and the answer was to her, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? How many times that word has encouraged people in their individual situations and us as a fellowship as well. Who knows in this pandemic and what's going to happen afterwards whether we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Young people, the older ones of us are getting older. There was a funeral yesterday of the Duke of Edinburgh in 99 years, and they say it's that generation, they're dying out. And another generation, when the Queen dies, who would be king, etc. All of these things, it comes home at times like that. We're at the end of our lives. We've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. From the time that God called us into the ministry and to other things that we've all been doing, God called us and we've come to the kingdom for such a time as what we have gone through. We have served our generation like David did, and that's what the scripture says of him. He served his own generation and then he fell asleep. His time had come to an end. The next generation had to take on the burden. They had to do, and that you've come. I don't know what lies ahead for you in the years to come with all that's been going on with the pandemic, and whether it's everything's going to be the same or different. It's going to be tough for you. It's going to be harder for this generation of young people than it ever was for us. You will have things to face, but you will have the Lord with you, and his grace will be sufficient for you, and he will help you and strengthen you. And who knows what God will use you to be and to do in the generation that comes. You have come to the kingdom at such a time as this. Then I want to just give a few more brief ones. Job, in this pandemic, a lot of people have lost their lives. Some of them have been Christians. And there's been a great loss. But we get comfort from Job because he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That word has been and will be a comfort to many. And he said as well, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That word has been a living word to martyrs who have faced death down through the centuries. Burnt at the stake, martyred. And again, at times of death, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. There's a couple of other things he says as well. He says, he knows the way that I take, and when he's tried me, I am going to come forth as gold. It's one of the first sermons I ever preached in a church when I went to. Not the very first, but I thought, little did I know what I was preaching on when I was a young person. But also another thing, Job saw himself for what he was after God had done in his dealings with him. And he says, Lord, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Now, Lord, I understand. I hate myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Very quickly, Isaiah had the same when he recognized his own uncleanness and the uncleanness of everyone around him. Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We need words like this. We need experiences like this. But in a time of great trial, when you pass through the waters, the Lord said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I honestly believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew that word. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And in comfort and hope, he gives beauty for those who have ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Jeremiah, and I've just got Jeremiah, when we worry about the future, how many of us have had this? I know the thoughts, the Lord says, that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And he says, if you seek me, you will find me. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and many things which you don't know. Just to close, the prophet Habakkuk, he said this, I will stand my watch and I'm going to set myself on the rampart. He was going to be a watchman and he said, I am going to watch and to see what he will say to me. And we need to do that, to watch and to see what God is saying. He says, what I will answer when I'm corrected. And these are the conditions that Habakkuk was in. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, it was a time of barrenness and dryness and hopelessness. And yet he says here, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And so I bring this message to a close, and I trust that there may have been some verses of scripture that may have encouraged you in your situation and your trial. If we understand that God loves us, if we understand that every test and every trial we go through, he knows absolutely everything about it, and he knew about it before you ever went through it, and he knows it now, and he knows the end of it. He knows what's going to happen, and he's going to see you through, and he's going to bless you. And if we understand that, then our knowledge of him and of his love and his grace and his mercy and his word and his faithfulness will deepen in a way that nothing else would have made it like that. They're necessary. We don't want them, but they're necessary. But you know, The wonderful thing about it is that in these tests and trials, we can actually turn to the Lord and we can say, Lord, will you speak to me? Will you give me a word? And you know, when he gives you a word that registers in your spirit, that is birthed of the Holy Ghost, that word will take you through situations and circumstances that nothing else will. And when you come out at the end, you will look back and you say, thank you, Lord. That word was real. That promise was true. And you have been good to me. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you. We love you with all our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you care about us,